Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on ztalkradio.com. Welcome. Karen?
Rick?
How are you?
I am thrilled that we have less than 2 weeks to go in election season. That's how I am.
I know. I can't wait. I am so tired of listening. Actually, it's to the point now where I'm tired of listening to both sides.
I hate them all.
I know. I mean, I know who I'm voting for, but I'm tired of listening to all the, like, you know, it's like you go on Facebook, and I spend, you know, a lot of time on Facebook and stuff, and I read all the stuff that people write, and it's like, and I put stuff on there too, and it's like, it's just, it's getting so old, and I kind of wonder, it's like, what is it that people are going to bitch about once the election's over?
Oh, I'm sure that there will be plenty of things to bitch about once the election's over.
Oh, I'm sure, but as pertaining to the election, there's going to be nothing. I mean, either, you know,
they're going to bitch about who won. Come on. And, you know, there'll probably be some big protracted battle, and then there's going to be cries of election fraud from whichever side lost. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's the handwriting's on the wall. It's just, it'll haunt us for months to come. But at least we won't have to put up with the ads and all of the, I hate them all.
The attack ads are incredibly insane this year, and it's not just the attack ads that you see on TV. Now, of course, you know, with the internet and everything, you see so much more. I've actually seen pop-ups of how terrible Romney is and how terrible Obama is, and I'm getting a little bit of infomania here, and I'm getting a little tired of it.
It's disgusting. I'm sorry. I am too. And I that seems to be the sentiment. And, you know, here's the thing. I understand that people are passionate about their candidate and what they believe, and that they're really excited to post that on Facebook and everything else. But I think while there are maybe two or three people who are still truly undecided, I think at this point, this nation is so divided and so partisan that really all you're doing is screaming at the choir. You're preaching to the choir. And you know, you're going to make one group mad and the other group was already going to vote for your guy anyway.
Right. See, and you hit the nail on the head right there. Everything is so partisan nowadays. How about we all just forget about these secondary things, focus on what should come first and what is, you know, first and foremost, and try and change a few things in this country.
What a good idea.
It is a great idea, and it's just – it's so incredibly simple that it borders on the absurd. But just get together, do something, and, you know, help us out. Because when you put these – when these guys put these attack ads on and they're constantly going at each other, this is what they show. As the normal American, the 47%, I might say, and that they only care about – being in power. That's all they care about.
Exactly. Well, but that's both sides of the coin. You know, I've made no secret that I'm a raging liberal, but I, you know, the Democrats piss me off just as much as Republicans do, because that's it. It's all about power instead of doing anything to actually help, you know, this country move forward. Yeah. So anyway, enough politics.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it's the reality show mentality that this country has gotten itself in, that it's all one-upmanship, and that's it.
We're all a bunch of geniuses. So this weekend. Well, I'm asking you. You have something going on this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend I'm going to be assisting a local group, Nexus Paranormal Investigations. They have a home, and I can't really tell you where, but I will say that it's in McHenry County. Illinois, and they've gone to this home numerous times, and I've heard everything from Native American spirits because it's built on Native American burial ground. I've heard poltergeist. I've heard let's see, demonic spirits. Basically, I've heard everything that you will hear on television every week.
Yeah.
And that's fine and everything because they're a newer group, and I realize that that's what we have nowadays. But if there is a poltergeist, poltergeists aren't always 13-year-old girls, you know, precocious 13-year-old girls. Just because your house is built on a Native American burial ground doesn't mean that it's going to be haunted by aggressive Native American spirits, because let's face it, this entire country is a Native American burial ground.
Pretty much.
And just because something reaches out and might give you a little bit of pat on the ass or a scratch
doesn't mean it's evil.
Exactly. So
it's not Satan coming to eat your soul. Well, and I'd like to add something, because out here in the Pacific Northwest, mm-hmm. everything used to be a brothel, apparently. And here's what I would say. Just because you heard that it used to be a whorehouse does not mean it's haunted.
Exactly. Yeah, I've actually, it's amazing. You go into a lot of these places where people are like, oh my God, this is the most haunted place in the world. And either the spirits are so incredibly benign that they don't want to have anything to do with you, or this place that is supposed to be the most haunted place in the world actually turns out to be the most unhaunted place in the world. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be, yeah, there's got to be common sense involved here. And, you know, I know that, you know, I don't like to call myself a skeptic, because I've seen too much and I've experienced too much to call myself a skeptic, but I do like to call myself a believer that hasn't turned their brain off yet.
Yeah, and, there you go.
Yeah, and you can turn your brain off really in either way you go, either being incredibly skeptical or being the most believing person on the face of the planet. It's easy to turn your brain off either way and not think critically and truly objectively.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
So good points, all of them. There are some. Oh, so speaking of like famous haunted places. So Cheryl.
Yes, Karen.
We're
bringing her on again. She doesn't like it. Okay, go ahead.
That's the thing. You think I don't like it? In reality, I do.
She does. She loves it. She secretly sends me emails begging me to let her come on the air. So I tried to watch
Paranormal Witness.
No. Oh.
Okay.
The fictional one, Asylum. The one that we talked about. American Horror Story, Asylum.
Oh my gosh, I totally didn't even remember it was on.
Oh, okay. So then you can't have a discussion about it.
I can't converse with you.
I haven't watched it.
About it.
I just tried to watch the very first one, and of course it's a whole new story, and it's got some of the same actors as last year, like Jessica Lange is in it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's got the same people, but they're playing different characters, and I found it unwatchable.
Okay. I was wondering how it was going to be, because I thought you probably either love it or hate it.
Hate it.
Okay. Hold on a second. It has the same people, but they're playing different characters, so...
Not all the same people. It has some new people, too, but yeah, it has a lot of people who were in the original, because they're calling it a mini-series, because it changes locations and changes story every year.
Okay.
And so, like, Jessica Lange was, like, the creepy lady next door last year, and this year she's some sadistic nun. In a place that's like Waverly Hills, kind of.
I remember when Jessica Lange was still considered, you know, kind of hot in certain circles. And now it's like she's playing the creepy old lady. You know what? It's age is a bitch, man. That's all there is to it.
Age is a bitch, especially to women in movie roles. I would agree with that. I'm about to put on my feminist hat for a minute. But, you know, men can continue to play these sexy, hot action heroes as they age. And as women age, they get stuck playing creepy old sadistic nuns.
Yeah, I think that's there's definitely a certain amount of... that's not very Coolidge going on there. You know, it's funny because it's like when you consider guys like Bruce Willis, I've actually heard that when he's not making movies and when he's not on the screen, that he like has to walk around in a walker every now and then.
Really?
I thought that was pretty hilarious, because it's like, here's John McClane taking out, you know, the Gruner brothers or whatever their name was, and here
Gruber.
He is, you know, not on screen.
Sad that I know that, but yeah.
So, yep.
Yippee, there you go.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
That's right. So, Rick, who are our guests going to be this evening?
Our guest tonight is going to be Mr. Steve Williams of Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters. We're going to be talking EVP because he is the EVP specialist, and we're going to be talking what Memphis Mid-South has going on. It looks like they are doing a lot at this moment, so this should be an interesting show for us and for everybody else involved.
Well, that sounds very good. So I got rid of the Fibic box. It's no longer here in my home.
Oh, thank goodness.
I sent it back on Monday. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that it brought any darkness or anything to my house. But at the same time, I was not unhappy to send it back.
Okay.
It was evil.
Even though this is... See, but no, but Cheryl, you are mocking the box right now. I don't think that there's anything evil...
I'm sorry, I take that back.
I personally don't think there's anything evil about the Dybbuk box. I just think that it's probably one of those things where a lot of urban legend has risen up around something that has some actual,
yes,
real energy concerning it. But whether or not it's evil, I have a problem with the term evil because I don't really believe in it. So,
right. Well, yeah, I will say this, though, that I have never, ever talked about the Dybbuk box and not had people absolutely fascinated with the story. And so I, of course, did the Port Gamble Ghost Conference this weekend, and that was my topic, which is why I had the Fibic box as opposed to the Dybbuk box, because Jason was kind enough to loan it to me, his replica. And the people there just absolutely loved the story. They eat that story up. And I didn't tell them. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. I didn't tell them until the very end of my talk that it was not the real Dybbuk box that I was showing them.
Right.
Because I wanted to see. And I said, has anybody noticed anything? And they all said, nah. I was like, okay, well, good. That's because it's a fake one.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's going to spit acid on you and eat away at your bones or you know, opening up the Ark of the Covenant and all the Nazis, you know, die. It's nothing like that. I mean, it's just something that a lot of legend has grown up around.
Yeah, but it's such a fun story. It's such a fun story to tell. And honestly, I have never... If you want to... enthrall someone, tell them the story of the Dybbuk box at a party or something, and they will sit there and hang on your every word. It's amazing. It's, you know, so Jason's been so generous with us, and it's great because we've had a lot of fun with him and his haunted box.
Right.
So let's, we need to go to break.
Yep.
So when we come back, we will be talking to, is it Mid?
Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters.
Steve Memphis. Williams. Stick around. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We shall return.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American news and politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
Identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network. Operating frequency on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. And tonight joining us is going to be the EVP specialist, lead investigator of Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters, Steve Wills. Steve, welcome to the Underground.
Hey, thank you.
Good evening. So, Memphis, you know, I got to tell you something. I love Memphis. My dad lives down in Clarksville, and I just I love the state of Tennessee. It's got to be, it's probably one of the cleanest, friendliest people per capita state in the entire union. So
we appreciate that. We try to be hospitable here.
Yeah. So with that being said, now Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters, you guys got a lot that you got going on right now, correct?
We stay pretty busy. Yeah. We have ongoing investigations, and we do workshops, training workshops. Got a couple of those coming up in early November.
Right.
Where you train investigators or potential investigators?
We sure do. We found two sites, an old school in the Memphis suburb area, and then an antebellum home, which is about an hour's drive east of Memphis. And they both have a lot of activity. We've been doing workshops at the antebellum home since 2006, and it's a pretty amazing place. Apparition sightings and disembodied voices.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, old school has a lot of energy in it too. So it's a great place to take people and offer them a place to experience this in a very safe and comfortable venue.
Right.
So if I'm somebody who's taking your workshop, what am I going to come away with other than possibly a heck of an experience?
Well, we explain about equipment and demonstrate how to use that, and we also focus on sensitivity, trying to get people to become more aware of what they're feeling when they're in the energy, because mm-hmm. that's a really important part of this for us. We've come to rely on our own bodies as sensors, as well as the equipment, so we try to incorporate that into the training.
Hold on a second, Steve. You realize that what you just said right there was blasphemy with modern day ghost hunting?
Not us. We're good. We actually agree with you. But
yeah, no, we do agree with you. It's just you don't really come across it. Everybody wants to rely so much more on things that go beep and boop and light up and take batteries, rather than on what we've evolved over the last couple hundred thousand years.
Yeah, it's a journey, of course, and when I became involved in this actually a decade ago in 2002, mm-hmm. I was heavy in equipment. I still use a lot of the equipment, but I've become sensitive. I think more people that are involved in this and stay immersed in this energy and different experiences they have, they're going to become more aware of what they're feeling, and it's sure. really... We work with rescue mediums, and we can talk about that, some more too, but it's not just going in. In fact, our motto is investigate, educate, and rescue. So,
I like that.
You really can't, you can go in and provide some evidence and everything, but, is that really the end result of what's really going to help the family there? So there's a lot more to it than some of the people that are involved in it.
When you say we're here to help, you actually intend to help instead of just going in and saying you're here to help but not helping.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I came to that conclusion a long time ago that most people that contact us, they know something's going on in their house. They know that there is something paranormal going on there. And, like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years. And yeah. Most of the cases that we have, there is something, there are some spirit energy, in that area. So it's a very common thing.
So what's the rescue part of your mission then? Explain that to me.
Well, we work with mediums mm-hmm. in conjunction with our equipment and our own sensitivities. And they're able to facilitate communication. And what we will do is try to go in and get the story of whoever's there, why they're there, and then try to do some, I guess you'd say, spiritual counseling and try to help them release from the site.
That's the way to do it. And you don't go in and demand that they leave.
Oh, no.
You talk to them and find out what's tiding in there. And then you suggest to them that they could be doing other things.
That's right. And, when you're working with the medium, someone who's the way the analogy I use is, if I had a radio and I was scanning through the radio, I'll hit on the station occasionally. I get some information.
Right.
But I'm not on the station all the time, but the mediums are, they're like locked in. and right. they get that communication. And that's mm-hmm. so valuable. It's so important to, because you can go into a house and get evidence and say, okay, yeah, you have someone here, there's something going on. But they already know that. The people that are living there, they already know something's going on.
Right.
But, you know, what does that do? What's the end result of that? They're still having those experiences. And
see,
still frightened and curious, you know.
Right.
Right. And you know, and that's what I find really interesting, because a lot of times I have, doing the show, and of course, you know, I get a chance to talk to and meet with other groups, and they're like, well, they say that there's something that's going on in their home, and that's fine. But there's nothing going on in this home until we say there's something going on in this home. And I think that's kind of arrogant, that you're not taking the personal experiences of the people that either, you know, reside there or work in a place as being the gospel truth. Because when you're there 24/7 and you're constantly seeing like a Civil War soldier walking through your kitchen, maybe opening the fridge looking for a beer or something, there's obviously something in your home. So I think it's really important to listen to what people say that they feel and what they see. That's so key to what we do.
No, absolutely. You know, there are, well, I have had cases over the years where there's been really kind of few and far between where someone was not on the up and up. But you can tell,
right.
I mean, I can sense the energy, so I can go into a place and tell if there's an energy in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Develop to the point where I can tell if it's a male or female. I get some information beyond that, but not as detailed as what mediums would get. But you know, okay. If I go into a place and I feel the energy, and they're telling me that these things are happening, and then I get a voice on the recorder, of course, that's all you really need to really verify things. But
right,
yeah.
I think you said something that was interesting. You said that you've been doing this for 10 years and you've developed the sensitivity. Do you think that that's actually true, that it's something that you developed, or do you think that it's something that you've just got better at tuning into and that it was always there?
It was probably always there, but I just wasn't aware of it. And having the opportunity to investigate and be in these situations where there is this energy, I suppose it just kind of opened me up to it. But that happened within about a year of when I started.
Sure.
And people have different sensations, different ways of reacting to this energy. But it is energy, and it's vibration, and your body will. That's one thing we try to stress in the workshops. We take people through these different areas of the houses that we know that there is some activity going on there, and try to help them to understand what they're feeling, and that's really important.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things that when I first started investigating, I get exactly what you're saying, because I would have told you that I was about as sensitive as a rock as far as spirits go. But now I've always been empathic, and I've always been really good with the living people and figuring out stuff that probably they don't want me to know. And just ask my husband and son at Christmas. But I think what you said is really important, that different people experience that in different ways. So where somebody might get, you know, the hair on their arm standing, somebody else might just suddenly have a name in their head, or they might see something or hear something. So how do you teach that to people? Because there's so many different ways that people get information.
Well, like I said, you know, our workshop that is at the Antebellum Home, that's an overnight workshop. It's actually 4 hours of going through the house and doing EVP work and doing that sort of thing. And then they stay at the house, and it's an overnight, it's a bed and breakfast. So they're able to stay at night. But just through the course of those 4 hours, you know, several times people will have those feelings, and I always ask them to, you know, be sure and let us know if they feel something strange, or if I feel energy, then I'll say, well, does anybody else feel anything here?
Yeah.
And, you know, one person might say, I'm feeling really heavy, dense feeling or this and that. So that we try to train them to understand what they're feeling and make a correlation there.
Now, one of the things I find interesting about your biography is that you say that you used to be a skeptic until you went on, you know, a tour like the ones that you offer. What exactly is it that happened that, you know, caused your skepticism to just, you know, go away?
Well, actually, what got me interested in this is I was on a family vacation in 2002 in St. Augustine, Florida.
Okay.
And this was pre-TAPS and before all the shows came on television. So they had just started doing, I think, one tour down there, and I took a photo that had what appeared to be an orb in it. I didn't know what an orb was or anything about this. So mm-hmm. when I came back to the Memphis area, there were only two ladies in this area that were actually actively investigating and had a website up. And so I sent my photos to them, and they explained, okay, yeah, you've just taken a picture of a spider web. Go out in your backyard, find where a spider has spun a web from a tree down to the ground and take a photo. Well, I had the same streaking orb effect.
Yeah.
So, but I was very interested at that point and started going out on my own, doing a little investigating, and then we joined up, and it kind of built from there. But I was very skeptical. We were doing house investigations. We would have things happen like stereos would turn on and off. Mm-hmm. I remember in one house we went in, the stereo turned on, and it started playing an old song that said, "Something's happening here."
Okay.
So all these kind of clues, and then just bizarre things were happening. We put a coin down one time, and when we came back, it was moved across the room, and nobody had gone into the room. So, I was trying to explain all this stuff away in a scientific way, and then we went to a theater north of Memphis, a little town where people had seen this little girl for years and years. She was dressed like in Victorian clothing.
Okay.
And we did some recording work there and got a very long EVP, which you may have sent that one to you. But so we knew she was there, and then we went back about 2 weeks later and played some music, and she spoke out loud, and that's when I just turned the corner. I said, okay, this is real. There's no explanation for this. Only adults here at 1 o'clock, and a little girl speaks out loud on the balcony.
Yeah, there's always that one experience that sort of fishes you in, doesn't it?
That was it for me.
But now, once you were able to move beyond that skepticism, did it change how you investigated? Did it change how you felt about your investigations?
No, not really. I mean, I still, in the early days, I took a lot of equipment in because I took so much equipment in and tried to blanket the whole area. And then I started becoming sensitive to the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And really, truly, working with the medium and also sometimes just myself and another person, pretty much go into a place and within an hour or two tell who's there and make contact and provide some kind of resolution. It's not an all-night thing, anymore,
yeah.
Or blanket whole place with equipment. I do record all the investigations just to have a documentary of what's going on. But when you work with a medium, really, truly, these groups out here, if they can find someone that's able to sense this energy and pick up information, that is such a blessing. It really is. And that's really, I think, the best way to do this work.
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem that I find is finding that person that you trust to work with as a medium, because I think that you're going to agree with what I have to say here, and that's that there are a lot of people who probably have some level of ability, but really not nearly as much as they say, and so when they, instead of saying, well, I'm just getting nothing, they make stuff up.
True. I mean, yeah, you have to be very careful and screen people. I was lucky to have someone come into my life about 4 years ago, and we worked together for the past 4 years. She's moved on to other things now, but she was extremely accurate. She provided some information to me that totally verified, mm-hmm. her ability to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked together very well during that 4 years and did a lot of good work together, and totally trusted her totally. And, but then there's other people that I work with. I have a friend actually in Florida, Linda, who works remotely with me. But she doesn't even have to be on site. I mean, I can go into a place and I can get on the phone with her, and she can actually kind of read through me with me being at the site. So she does a lot of work with me too.
Oh, that's nice. And that's nice that you found some mediums that you can trust. And that's what we've been able to do, too, is found people that we can trust that are fairly accurate. But, boy, in the years that I've been doing this, I've also come across a lot of the other kind as well.
Oh, yeah. They're out there, no doubt about it.
Yeah. In 20 years of me actually doing actual investigations, I've met dozens of people who claim that, oh yeah, I'm a psychic, I can talk to the dead. But to be honest with you, I can count on like one hand the people that I have either worked with that I know has a legitimate ability, or people like Karen and William that I am convinced have a real ability, or the medium that I work with, Nancy Laporta. I talk about her quite a bit on the show because she's a very dear friend. And, you know, when I first started working with her, I did every damn thing I could to try and disprove her ability, but there's just nothing I could do. I was at total loss. It's like all I could say was is that this is number three, you know, so you do come across it, but it is rare.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the ones that I've been introduced to and have worked with, there's probably half a dozen that I would totally, you know, implicitly trust.
Yeah.
And know for certain that they are, you know, giving me accurate information.
Yeah, definitely. Not very many. And I would say probably about a half a dozen people that I would consider that are really right on and accurate. And, you know, I mean, I understand maybe thinking that you're accurate and not being, but then there are people who just make stuff up. Those are the ones that bug me.
Right.
The make stuff uppers.
Well, you know, the person that I work with from Florida that works with me remotely, it's pretty cool because we travel within 200-mile radius of Memphis. So mm-hmm. if someone calls outside of our service area, I will go ahead and call them and find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then I'll offer them the option of talking to Linda and by phone. And she has just done such wonderful work outside of our service area. I mean, all over the country, doesn't matter if it's in Tennessee or, you know, in the states around us, just all over the place. The last two cases that I handed over to her, it turned out it was someone in the family that was around mm-hmm. this person that was creating the disturbance. And they were basically just trying to get her attention. And Linda was able to make contact with that person in spirit and provide information to the client that only the client knew. I mean, it was yeah. between that person in spirit and the client. So, you know, that's the verification that you have to have.
Absolutely.
Now, where do you think that these abilities come from? Do you think that this is I personally feel that this is something that has a biological component to it that makes you, you know, open to spiritual or energy. Where do you think that this comes from?
I think it's genetic because the ones that I've known, it's pretty much been passed down to the female side of the family.
Right.
So there must be a genetic component to it. So I think it's just how their brains are wired. They're able to tune into those frequencies that most people and see those vibrations in their mind that most people can't. You know, it's mm-hmm. just it's a function of the brain.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, I really like what you're saying about. I know I said this before, but what you're saying about the rescue part too, because I used to have this belief that you go in and you observe, but you don't interfere because every soul has its own path, blah, 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 blah. Who are we to interfere with that? And then somebody said to me one day, yeah, but if you knew a person that you cared about that was doing something that was not helping them, would you have a conversation with them about that? Would you try to find out why they were doing that? Would you maybe help them to understand that there were other alternatives? And of course I would if it was a living person. So why wouldn't we do that with somebody who's dead?
That's it. That's the whole crux of it, that it's basically just counseling. You know, they mm-hmm. still have the option. They have their free will. A lot of times it's like they miss the exit point. Mm-hmm. You know, for some reason, they lingered. Maybe there was some unfinished business, or they, due to their religious upbringing, they had a fear of punishment. Different.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of different reasons they give.
Sure.
But, you know, if you start talking to them and find out their story, they always want to tell their story. Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always.
And provide some counseling, you know, and say, well, you know, you really don't have to stay here. You know, there's someone waiting for you, and you can get help, and you know, sometimes it's a little difficult. There's emotional ties that are keeping them here and so forth. But
sure.
If you work with them for a while, a lot of times they'll come to a better understanding of what their situation, and they don't stay stuck in that same emotional problem that they had here. So
sure. So
it's basically counseling.
So I would guess then that you don't buy into another silly TV conventional wisdom thing, which is never let a spirit know they're dead because they don't have a clue. Of course they know.
How can you not know? I mean, you've been around a place for 100 years. You're constantly yelling in people's ears. And it's like, how can you not know that you're dead? It's pretty damn obvious.
That's right. Even Bruce Willis figured it out at the end of The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, there are a few that are really confused. I mean, maybe it was a sudden end, and they're not sure what happened. You know, it's really confusing. But I'd say the majority do know what's going on. And, you know, a lot of times, especially children, they're kind of hard to deal with because they like where they are. They become accustomed mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they think it's fun where they yeah. are and so forth.
And they're even sometimes attached to, like, the people that
oh, yeah.
now are
yeah.
where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when people, we've had cases where people become really attached to the spirits and really don't want them to leave. There's a small town north of Memphis where I've heard a report through a coworker that there's a little girl that's in this house and she will play the piano and she's seen all the time, but the family, you know, I've offered to go up there and just see what's going on, see what the story is. Mm-hmm. Because I want to help the little girl. I want to help her
right.
release. But, they like her being there. Just,
but that's,
you know,
not fair to her.
It's almost like keeping a pet, in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
It's just not fair to her. It really isn't, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just going to say, unless she likes being there. I mean, if she's attached to that piano and playing the piano, and maybe she sees it as a way to entertain her, you know, breathing brethren and, you know, sisters in the house and all that, maybe she likes being there. I've actually heard EVPs, and I've taken EVPs where people are like, you know what, I don't want to leave. I kind of like it here.
Well, that's true, but, you know, they may not have thought about the options. And there's always someone, especially for a child, there's always someone waiting in spirit
yeah.
for that child. There's yeah. a family member, you know, a grandmother, a father, mother, siblings. There's always someone who's patiently waiting for that person. And it's pretty sad, really, when it's the child and you know, no one has offered that help. So,
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. And that's been a real shift for me, but I agree with what you're saying. Now, the other thing I think is in finding out what's going on in a location, doesn't that also help the people who live there come to terms with it as well? Because once you know what something is, in my opinion, it's not nearly as scary. So if they've got something there and it doesn't want to move on, someone doesn't want to move on, they like being there for whatever reason, but you can tell these people, well, you know, that's just Charlie or whatever. Do you find that helps them?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Of course, the ultimate help is the rescue, is to help the spirit release, and that way everybody's better off. But yeah, I mean, the ones that don't want to release, that are happy there, you have to honor that, have to honor their free will and their choice.
Right.
And absolutely, the family, once they find out, I mean, think about all these things are happening, they're seem very threatening, noises are being made and, you know, footsteps
yep.
and so forth, but they're just, all they're trying to do is get their attention.
Yeah,
but it
now-
is a frightening thing.
Right. But let me ask you this, Steve. Like, for example, this weekend I'm assisting another group in getting rid of something in a house that is, like, they say that it's very aggressive and it's very nasty and it's very mean. What is your stance on that? I mean, if you go into a house and you actually find evidence where, I don't really believe in demons, but I do believe that human spirits can have demonic tendencies, I guess. You go into a home and you get evidence that there is just something that is so nasty and just so negative, and even if it's just a human spirit that's negative, do you guys cleanse properties?
Well, even if it's we call them grumpy old guys.
Perfect.
See, now, yeah, that's exactly what we call them too, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you come across a spirit from an earlier time, say, for instance, Civil War time or something like that, to have this mentality that, you know, they're superior. We've had instances where they wouldn't even talk to female mediums because, you know, that was, you know, just women were just
were
so
ladies.
Superior. Yeah.
Right.
And so you just have to get a conversation going with those folks and try to, you know, try to get their emotions higher and higher. But yeah, there's some nasty stuff up there. Now, I'm going to disagree with you because I come across it. There are energies that I don't label them demonic, but there are extremely negative energies that I don't think were ever human.
Well, no, allow me to just clarify that. I'm not saying that I don't believe in those kind of energies. I don't buy into the whole, you know, Satan fall. I'm not a Christian, so I don't really believe it doesn't figure into my belief system. You know, the minions of Satan are out to get us.
No, you believe in inhuman entities, not
exactly. Like,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the mediums that I've worked with can see these energies, and yeah, they're pretty nasty, but you know, they can be dealt with too. But you know, I think anybody that gets into this work and gets into it for the right reason, they're protected. You know, there's nothing that's going to harm the person that's really in this for the right reason. Now, the ones that are in for thrills and chills, look out.
Yeah, that's right. So
you may reap what you sow there, but
right.
You know, if you're in it for the right reasons, you're going to be protected. And there's some crazy stuff. I've seen possession cases where spirits spoke through a person and that type of thing. And you know, it happens, but it's pretty rare.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a young ghost hunter. Okay, this is pretend. We're hypothetical now. I'm a young ghost hunter, and I've been watching, you know, Zach and crew on TV, and I go into a place, and I decide that the spirit there has to go, and I go in with my sage and my Native American drumming and my holy water and my, you know, my crosses and everything else. Am I doing anything? Really?
No. You might lift the energy or make the energy more a little bit. You might have an effect on the energy where it kind of lightens for a while, but it's not going to be a lasting thing. No.
Yeah.
And you know what is holy water going to do for someone who has no religious convictions? You know.
See, that's what I've always thought was kind of interesting is that you see these people and go in and they do the house cleansing, and the house cleansing is whatever culture they've decided to grab it from. And there's all sorts of different ways, you know,
right.
And whatever faith. So what if I'm going in and the person there is a proper Victorian lady and I'm in there saging the place? Come on. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's still people that have their same personalities that they had when they were alive. So their cultural background, their religious beliefs, that's all still intact. And if they didn't have any religious beliefs and you go in with holy water, you know, that's not going to have any effect on anything. So,
well, no, and
that's in my experience.
If somebody came in and started blowing smoke on me, like if I'm sitting in my house enjoying my day and somebody comes in with a clamshell full of sage and starts waving a feather at me to get the smoke, you know, on me, and I'm a ghost, I might actually get a little irritated by that, frankly.
Yeah, so too. I believe so. But, I mean, I do know that it can have a temporary effect, but it's not going to be a permanent solution. In my experience, I don't think it is.
Yeah. Well, because you're not communicating. You're not. Yeah. So what is the cause of the temporary effect then? Do you think that that's a placebo thing where the people in the house feel better because it's been cleansed? Because you see, you know, we joke about paranormal TV a lot, but like the paranormal storytelling shows, it's always somebody comes in and cleanses the house and they all think, oh, thank God it's gone and things are good for a day or two. And then it comes back even worse than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's an irritant, but, what I'm using, to after we do a releasing and to try to, kind of, I guess, clear an area or raise the vibration area, I'm actually using some tuning forks, and crystals.
Oh.
And it's of course, this is all vibration and energy. And
right.
As long as you can raise that energy level, it seems to have a positive effect on everything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a final step once we go in and we do a rescue or have that facilitate that experience, then we will always kind of close with that. It's just it's something that raises the energy in the area.
Well, I will say I do burn sage in my house, and the reason I do is has nothing to do with necessarily entities here, but because I think it has a positive effect on the energy in my home.
I think you're right about that. It's not something that's. I mean, it's hard to go into a client's home and burn do sage, you know. So I thought, what's another thing that we could use that would be a vibrational thing? That's why we went to the tuning force and the crystals.
Okay.
Now, and it's also a thing that helps the family too, because I mean they see this going on, and it you know it's kind of a positive thing for them too.
Right.
See, now that's what I wanted to ask, because I mean, Steve, I work in the psychiatric field. I'm a counselor with kids who have behavioral learning and conduct disorders, and I was reading something very interesting that when you have cases of demonic possession, okay, you have people who really honestly believe that they are possessed by something that's you know otherworldly, that's of the devil, whatever. Now, in psychology, psychiatrists. There is actually a thing where it's like they will say the exorcism works, but in a way it's sort of a it's a psychodrama.
It's an empowerment thing.
It's an empowerment thing. Do you think that there is any truth behind that? Like if I go into these people's home in the weekend and I say this is your house, you're gonna take it back, and then we burn the sage. I do believe in it. I've seen it done before, and I have seen very, very positive results of it many, many times. But I do think that this is something that has to deal with people, too. It's like you have to believe that this is going to work, just like you said with the holy water. I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in holy water. So, therefore, that's not going to work. But what do you think about the psychological impact of a haunting?
Yeah, I think that's a part of the equation, definitely. It's an experience. I mean, everybody's sharing the experience, and anything that you can do to provide a positive effect in the situation is going to help those people. You know, we talk to them about explain to them that these things that they've been experiencing, like the knocking and footsteps and things moving, or you know, they're just ways that the spirit is trying to let them know that they're there.
Yeah.
And it's not a frightening thing once it's explained to them, and once they see, you know, that this is just a way of the spirit trying to get across that message. It's funny, I had Linda working with someone out of our service area here recently. This woman was terrified. She had left her home, and when Linda spoke with her, and it turned out it was just a spirit that had lived in this land, mm-hmm. and he was just trying to get their attention. And when she provided the client with this information and explained some things to her, the client actually didn't want him to go after that.
Yeah.
It was like a total 180 degrees reaction to what's going on. So that was really interesting.
I like that you guys take, to me, what seems like a really ethical approach to what you do. And I think that in this day and age of everybody who's formed a group because of what they saw on TV, I think that that's actually kind of, it makes your team unique and different. And I'm wondering what kind of feedback you get from others in your paranormal community who may be more TV oriented when you're going in and you're taking more of this ethical approach where you're about the spirits and that type of thing. Do you get some negative feedback about that or questions?
Not a whole lot. We've mentored several teams, younger people that have come to our workshops and formed their own teams. You know, we emphasize that aspect of it, that this is just not going in, getting evidence and leaving the client in the cold. You know, it's a situation where you have to go in, find out what's going on, and then try to provide some kind of positive resolution. It's not always possible just because of the spirit may not want to release or is not ready to release at that particular time, and then you might have to go back a time or two and do some more counseling. But I would say the majority of the cases that we have that we do are able to provide that positive solution right there on that first visit, which is really good. It helps everybody.
But it is. Would you agree that your approach is actually fairly unusual in this day and age?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it took me 10 years. Well, actually, we got into the rescue work probably about 4 or 5 years ago. But I think a lot of people just don't understand don't have the whole picture at this point. You know, mm-hmm. I was like that when I first started. I was looking for proof that, you know, there is life after death, you know?
Well, it was about you when it first started. Now it's not about you anymore.
No, you're right. It's not about me anymore. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's a passion for me. It really is. And I've been really blessed to work with some really gifted mediums, natural born mediums that had the gift when they were children. And so I think it's all been kind of orchestrated for me that I've met the right people at the right time, to work with.
You know what, Steve, I got to be honest with you. I really dig you, man, because you get it. You know, and I think that Karen would agree is that you get it, and you don't get that often these days. I mean, what you see on TV is what people think that this is, but I've spent hours sitting in a room just waiting for a ball to roll across the floor instead of just, you know, throwing a bunch of, like, you know, gadgets and stuff around. And it's like, it's just, I like telling people this. It's very refreshing to meet others who get it.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I don't have time. Personally, to go and spend hours and hours at a place, and that's why I seek out the people that are also passionate about this, the mediums that are passionate about the work, and that really want to go in and provide this assistance. Because if you don't find someone that you can work with or develop your own abilities to the point where you can go in and you know, do some of this rescue work just in a small group, you're really not providing the help that's needed. You're really not. And
exactly.
True passion for me, it really is.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And like I say, it's very refreshing to talk to you because you're saying a lot of the philosophies that I have, and it's nice to see a group that does that. Because so often we hear of the other kind, and there's nothing wrong with people being in there and doing things to satiate their own curiosity. I get that. I understand that. That's what draws us into this work in the first place, usually. But it's nice to see that there are groups and teams out there that truly understand that it's not about you, and it's not about what you want and what you want to know. It's about helping these spirits. So we need to go to break. When we come back, I understand you have sent some EVPs, and we would like to listen to them. So you can stick around for another segment, right?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. So we are going to go to break. We'll be back in about 2-3 minutes. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.org.
In her riveting novel, Breaking the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
Oh! Listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. We're back at Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. For the last 45 minutes or so, we've been talking to Steve from Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters. And Steve, thanks for sticking around for another segment. It's been a really, really fascinating conversation so far. But Karen and I, we both understand that you have some EVPs for us to listen to.
I sure do.
That's awesome.
Very good. And before we go to the EVPs, you were saying off the air that since you started working with mediums, you don't get very many EVPs anymore. And I thought that that was worth, you know, repeating for our listeners.
Yeah, especially when I started working with this particular young woman about 4 years ago, I would get a lot of EVPs prior to that. And when we started working together, they just dropped off dramatically, and I wonder what was going on. And then I started thinking about it, and it came to me that why would a spirit expend that energy to imprint a voice on magnetic media when they can communicate directly with someone just through thought? So they're always going to take the path of least resistance and what's easiest, and that's just the way it's been. I mean, I get some EVPs occasionally, but mostly it's when I go by myself. And I don't have a medium with me.
Very interesting. Okay, so we are actually not playing the EVP game tonight, folks, because I have this stupid sinus infection that's in my ears right now, and yeah. I can't hear crap. I can't hear a thing. So no EVP game tonight, but, I mean, you know, we'll still listen to them and try and guess them, and we're not going to say what they are ahead of time and, you know, all of that stuff. But we're not gaming tonight because, seriously, I can barely – I've been saying what a lot. I'm driving my child nuts. So, Cheryl, you have the EVPs queued up.
Yes, I have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. 10 from Steve, yes.
10 EVPs. Oh, awesome, man. Karen, I am so sorry that you were so handicapped tonight.
I am. There's something wrong with me. It's my ears.
You're just scared.
Because I'm so far behind. No, you're the one who's so far behind.
I think you should play the game anyway.
Seriously, I can't hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. No game. Yeah, that's fine.
That's Karen. Fine. Yeah, this will be good discussion anyway. The first one that I have here is actually, it looks like it's lengthy. It says it's 2 minutes and 5 seconds. It's the only one that is this long. Most of them are 20 seconds or less. So do you want me just to play it, or do you want to talk about it a little bit since it is such a long audio clip?
I don't know which one you're referring to, actually. So
okay, there's...
Play it,
I'll tell you about it.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, here we go.
Friday, December 29th at 12:30 lunchtime. Well, I'm going to go to town, so I'm going to leave this here on the staircase, and you'll know when I leave because I'm going to walk downstairs and you'll be able to hear me leaving. So I'm just going to tape the rest of the time I'm in town, just let it pick up whatever. So I'll talk to you later.
There was nobody there, and all that stuff was going on?
Yeah, that...
Wow.
If I'd known what was going on there, but before you played it, I could have given you a little backstory. That was actually a client that contacted me from Canada, from Nova Scotia. and she, her bed was shaking, and her children were seeing other children in the house and so forth. So I actually sent her a little micro cassette recorder and asked her to place it in the house when she left, when everybody, when the children were at school, her husband was at work, and she went into the little town to go to market or something. So what she did was she placed the recorder at the top of the stairs, and if I'd told y'all this before, it'd probably been easier to hear what's going on, but she left the house, and within about 30 seconds after she left, you can hear someone walk, run up the stairs, sound like a child. Mm-hmm. And then they run down the hallway, and what she was finding was when she came home, the children's playroom was kind of ransacked, and specifically the top was always off of the old Operation game. Remember that little game where you, you put the
magnetic thing in there? Is that what that whizzing sound was?
That was what the whizzing sound was.
And I'll be darned.
When I first heard that, when she sent that to me, I thought it was a chainsaw. But it was the Operation game, and the spirit was actually playing with that game when people were out of the house. It always take the top off the box. So
that's amazing.
Anyway, that all started.
I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
That started when she moved into this house and went up in the attic, and there was a quilt that she found that was kind of stuffed under some floorboards. And she pulled the quilt out and had a rosary in it, and there was, like, blood on the quilt.
Oh, no.
Everything started. So my advice is when you find something in a house, leave it. Don't disturb it.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, that's a pretty impressive, the whizzing part and the footsteps. And yeah, cool. Okay, next one, Cheryl.
Okay, this is a quick one. It's 2 seconds, and it has a label of house. I won't say what it says, but we'll just play it, and then we can talk about it.
We're dying?
You're going to die?
It sounds like, I guess, we're dying.
That was in a house where that was one of the first investigations I was involved in, and a man had committed suicide on the front porch of the house with a shotgun. And that was a very creepy house and had some really heavy energy in it. And it sounds like we're coming. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Oh, let's listen to it one more time.
Yeah.
I could hear we're coming. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Interesting.
Got a lot of EVPs in that house.
Next.
All right. This next one is about 8 seconds.
And was it Lucy that was speaking earlier?
Can you do it?
That's in the house where we do our workshops, the Antebellum Home, which was built in 1849. And the last lady who lived in the house, she died. She actually died off-site, but she was the last of the three generations that lived in this house. And her name was Annie Miller. And we did not hear that. That was during a workshop. We went back and listened to the recording. And it sounds like the question was that Lizzie, which was her sister, that was speaking? Because we heard what sounded like muffled voices out in the hallway, you know, with our ears. And then when we went back and listened to the recording, there was an elderly lady's voice on there. It sounds like she says, kind of in a southern drawl, "Well, don't you reckon?"
Okay. Let's listen again.
And was it Lucy that was speaking earlier?
You repeated it at loop.
Yeah, I repeated it, so a little bit louder at the end there.
But, got it. And you're right. It does sound like an older woman in a southern accent saying, "Well, don't you reckon?"
We actually turned that over to the owner of the bed and breakfast. Her son is a DJ at a radio station. He took it to a woman that knew this Annie Miller and played it for her, and she said that sounded just like Annie Miller.
Really? That's pretty cool.
A gravelly voice.
Next.
Okay, I think that these next two are from the same location.
Okay,
and this one's really, really quick, so I'll play this.
Can you talk to me?
You got that one.
Yeah, and the other one that you got that's related to that is actually the conversation where that little snippet was taken from. That was during a workshop, and we heard that disembodied voice. I was making a comment, and then we heard this voice, and then one of our workshop guests said something like, "Well, I just heard something."
So I have a question for you about this antebellum place where you do the workshops. So if your philosophy is rescue, why haven't the spirits in this place been?
Well, we've actually communicated with them, and they will not leave.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough.
It will not leave, and I don't understand. I think there's quite a few there, and for some reason they won't leave. And we've explained to them the options and everything, but they won't go.
Interesting. Okay.
We'll talk to them every time about it.
Well, maybe one of these days. In the meantime, it's a great place to take people. That's safe, and or maybe they're, you know, maybe one of the, maybe what their mission is to be there to help you because the work you're doing is so important.
I think that's part of it, and also the lady that owns the bed and breakfast bought it in the 80s, and it was literally, it was on its way down.
Yeah.
And I know that they've expressed that they appreciate her coming in and saving their home, so, and it's actually, you know, most people when they, back in the 80s, if you had advertised a haunted bed and breakfast, people would have run the other way, but now there's such an interest in all this. That people come there just, I mean, not only for our workshops, but just come to the bed and breakfast because it has that reputation.
Yeah.
And not only has our group investigated there, but groups from all over the country have come in and verified that, you know, it's truly haunted. So I think they participate in it to a certain extent because they know it's keeping their home alive in a sense, you know.
Yeah, I understand. So it makes sense to me. Okay, next.
Let me replay the bigger clip that Steve was talking about, maybe that'll...
You'll hear me speak, then you'll hear the disembodied voice in the middle, and then one of the workshop guests make a comment.
Okay.
It was really fun that night when I came in here and you talked to me.
Somebody said something.
Wow.
So we actually heard the voice. It came from the corner of the room, and we had like... I think we had 8 workshop guests that night, and the lady that was sitting on the couch where the voice came from in that area, she was touched on the shoulder at the same time.
Interesting. That certainly makes it seem like something's going on, doesn't it?
Now, that house is phenomenal. During our first workshop that we did there in 2006, we weren't even doing EVP work. We weren't even looking, going through the house and looking for anything, but we had 6 people there. 4 workshop guests and myself and another team member. And about 30 minutes into the workshop, we were sitting in what used to be the ladies' parlor back in the, you know, Civil War days. About 30 minutes into the workshop, I noticed some movement and turned and looked into the hallway, and there was a young woman wearing a hoof skirt. And she was kind of gliding down the hallway. And the lady that owns the house, Elaine Cox, has a hoop skirt because she has weddings there. She will sometimes wear that. Well, I thought she'd come down to give us a little treat, you know. And then I looked really closely and I could see through this person. But that was phenomenal. That was right in our first job. So 4 of us saw that.
Wow. Very cool. All right, so we have more show.
Okay, yes. This one's about 20 seconds long.
Is it the child's voice just going on and on and on?
Yeah.
That's the little girl that I was telling you about in the theater in the little town, which is known as Covington, Tennessee, which is north of Memphis. Mm-hmm. Now, we had gone in there several times. We heard that this place was haunted. We came in there. This was in the early days and did a lot of investigation work there with a lot of equipment. And she imprinted her voice on a video camera soundtrack and on a microcassette recorder. One was down in the lobby, one was up in the balcony. So out of all the equipment that was in the, lots of other people were recording, she only printed her voice on two pieces of equipment. But you can definitely tell it's a little girl. She was speaking over our conversation and she's kind of whiny.
Yeah. But she had a lot to say.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We think she's saying, they're laughing at me. Why are they laughing at me, Mommy? I think she was equipment, or they're looking at me. And I think the equipment disturbed her.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've often wondered about some of the equipment with some of these spirits, especially from, you know, much earlier times. I've often wondered if things like laser grids or black lights or things like that do disturb them.
Probably. I would think so, yes.
Yeah.
That was back in the day when we used to go in and just blanket a place. I don't do that anymore, but we had a lot of equipment in there that night. And then we went back 2 weeks later. I think you had this recording somewhere in the EVPs that I sent to you, but I got the idea to try to find some music from that time period. So I went on the internet and found some children's songs from early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And we played the music, and that's when this little girl spoke out loud. She says, "Listen." And I became a believer.
Yeah, we do that. We bring music and things like that from the time period too. I actually find it's a good way to communicate and to open up communications. So
absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Cheryl, you got another?
Yes. That's what you were just talking about, Steve, I believe. That one.
Can you play it again?
Yeah.
I hear the same voice. I don't know what she said.
No, I think that's actually my first EVP. I think that was in a cemetery, which I don't do cemeteries anymore. But in the early days, I would go in the late afternoons and just kind of sit around before it got dark and do some recording. I think that was in a little cemetery, in a farm cemetery.
Okay.
That was the first one I got. I think she's saying poor thing or choking.
Okay. It sounded like the same voice to me.
Well, the Steve, the file had the same, it says Ruffin or Rufin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if that indicates.
The one I'm thinking of is longer than that because you can actually hear the music playing and us making some comments.
Oh, okay. I can't hear that one.
Very well on my end. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't hear very well on my end.
Yeah.
It's
well,
here's
another one that I have that says Rufin Theater Girl. This may be because it's
book out loud.
Yeah, 13 seconds.
Yeah,
so let me play this one.
Who's that? Where is he? You sure? That's a girl.
That's the one. That's where she says listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely heard listen
at the end. Yeah. And we were playing an old song called The Green Grass Grows All Around, which is a popular children's song back in the turn of the century.
Mm. Okay.
Very cool. Do we have more?
Yeah, we have two more. Here's the next one.
I'm kind of guessing because a friend of mine, and she is 10 years older than mine, and she...
The giggle?
It's a giggle, yeah.
That was out in the middle of a cotton field. We had gone up to Zenith, Missouri to investigate what's known as a Zenith light, a ghost light. And people see this light really late at night across a cotton field. So we had found a lady that grew up there. She was telling about this house that used to be down just a little ways down the road from where we were. And during the conversation, there was a little girl that giggled. And that was like it. 1 o'clock at night out in the freezing cotton field.
Oh, it's that one actually sounds a little bit creepy even. Can we hear that one again?
I'm kind of guessing because a friend of mine, and she is 10 years older than mine, and she...
Wow.
Wow.
Again, I repeated it at the end so you could hear a little bit better.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Do we have
All more? Right. Let's play the last one.
Okay. What it that sounds is that English?
That's interesting because we were one of my favorite places to go was St. Augustine, Florida. It's an extremely haunted city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere there's spirit energy in that city, and there's an old inn. That's the oldest inn in the city. It's called St. Francis Inn. I'm not sure if any of the TV shows have been there or not, but was sitting down in the breakfast room and I had my meter, ghost meter turned on, and it started just going nuts. And I could feel some energy in the room with me, and then when I went back and listened, I think I made the comment, I think there's someone here with us, and the little child says, "Do you see us? Do you see us?"
That's what I thought
so they
she
knew,
said.
Yeah. They knew that we were aware of their presence there.
Well, let's can we hear it one more time now that we know what it says?
Yeah. Yeah, do you see us?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, definitely child.
Yeah.
Wow. So you get a lot of children on your recordings, mm-hmm. It sounds like.
Yeah, I tend to track spirit children. I sure do. And the recording device that I have used for a long time, they don't even make this anymore. It's called a mini disc recorder. It was something that Sharp and Sony produced, 10 or 15 years ago. You still find them on eBay occasionally, but they make really, really clear recordings. And on a little disc, you can get about 2 hours. And of course, you have that physically there to archive it. And it's just amazing how clear those things are.
They are. They're much clearer than the digital stuff that you get on most of them. Now, I use a Zoom H4, and then I also use an Olympus DS40. And I find that the Zoom H4 gets pretty clear stuff. It doesn't get much, but it gets pretty clear stuff. And, you know, the Olympus gets a lot more stuff, but it's just not very clear.
Yeah, some of those digital recorders use compression algorithms that tend to garble things. And we've actually done a lot of recording testing with the digital recorders side by side with the mini disc recorders, which don't use any compression.
Right.
And you get really different results. So,
even the high def recorders like the Zoom and I know Sony has one, do they still use compression on the high def recorders as well?
I don't know. I'm just a mini disc guy.
You're a mini disc guy.
Once I found that, I just decided that's what I'm going to use from as long as I can. So that's I haven't even explored anything else beyond that.
Yeah.
Sure, makes sense. You find something that works and you use it.
And two, like I said earlier, I record all our investigations just to have a documentary of it, and I do go back and listen and see if there's voices, but they're so few and far between now. Especially, when I'm working with the medium, that it just kind of when I started working with mediums, it really changed the way I did the whole thing.
Right,
make it a lot easier too.
Yeah, that's I think I do remember the mini disc, and I remember I wanted one really bad, but I couldn't afford it at the time. But yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like I use my telephone. I use the voice recorder app on my Android, my Samsung Android.
Terrible.
It seems to work just fine for me. The few EVPs that I've taken with it, they come off pretty crystal clear. But I definitely remember those mini discs. You know what? I really, honestly, I want to hear that very first one, the one with the person running up the stairs and the operation. I really want to hear that again because that one just fascinates me. To think that something that is immaterial can move something of that heavy around. I'd really like to hear that again. Cheryl, can we play that?
If you listen really carefully, when the child runs up the stairs, you can tell that they get really close to the recorder and stop and look at it because they pause before they run down the hallway. And it's really, the volume increases as they come up the stairs. It's almost as if they're skipping a step in between because it's like bump, 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 and they're up there.
And right.
Run down the hallway and you hear some hear a little noise, and then that mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it definitely fascinated me.
Yeah, let's listen to that one again, Cheryl.
Okay, here we go.
Friday, December 29th at 12:30 lunchtime. Well, I'm going to go to town, so I'm going to leave this here on the staircase, and you'll know when I leave because I'm going to walk downstairs and you'll be able to hear me leaving, so I'm just going to tape the rest of the time I'm in town. Just let it pick up whatever. So I'll talk to you later.
that it's amazing to me because it's like, yes, it is so obvious the noise that comes from that game. Not only that, too, it also sounds as if this entity bangs or drops and picks up and then drops again the uh-huh. little pincers. And you can yeah. very clearly hear that.
I know. It's pretty amazing. And they had all kinds of things. Of course, I would have loved to have gone to that house and done some rescue work there, but they were in Canada. But they had some amazing things. It got really a little scary for her because her bed would shake really violently. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, that was just their way of getting her attention because they need help. You know, that's right. why they do these things. They need help. They're frustrated. They're confused. Nobody can see them. Nobody can hear them. You know, they've been there a long time, in many instances. So it's really their way of letting people know that they're there. It's not really threatening in most situations.
Right, but right. at the same time in that audio, it really sounds like, because it's like, as soon as she leaves, those little footsteps come running up the stairs.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a kid that's really excited to play with a toy to me.
Oh, they made a mess in the kids' room every time she left. Not only that game, all the other games were played with, too, and strewn around, so.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow. It's
muting and coughing, Rick. I keep dumping out on you and not telling you I'm doing it. Sorry about
that. Oh, no, that's okay. And you know what's really funny is like, it's an EVP that is really similar to an EVP that Richard Palmisano, he's a Canadian paranormal investigator. In the show, was that the case was actually featured on A Haunting, and I've read the book a couple of times by him. And it's very similar to something that he dealt with, but instead of hearing a game in the background, you can, in the EVP, you can hear the girl running up the stairs, and you can hear like her charm bracelet going ting, yeah. ting, 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 all the way up. It's almost similar that it's eerie to me.
Right. Yeah, it is.
that's a pretty interesting one, although I don't think that's an EVP. I think that's that's just recording sounds of what's going on there.
Right. There was, I had an opportunity to, I met some people in St. Augustine several years ago, and they invited me to a farmhouse in Virginia when I was in that area. And, oh, my gosh, it was a very active house. The lady had seen like a ball of energy in the parlor area. This was an old farmhouse that belonged to their family, just kind of pulsating there. She described that to me, and little balls of light would fly around the house and hit the newspaper and actually kind of sizzle against the newspaper and different things like that. So we all, the husband and wife and I, all left the house one day to go into the little town, and I left a recorder there. And I'm telling you, just as soon as we got out of the house, it just sounded like a herd of elephants was going up and down the stairs. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was very active, and all kinds of phenomena were taking place there.
So, do you have any theories as to why someplace like St. Augustine would be so much more haunted than, you know, Cleveland or something?
Well, it's allegedly the oldest city in the country. So, I mean, you think of all the layers of time and people that have lived there and all their energy imprints and spirits that for some reason are lingering. It's just overlapping and overlapping. And that was actually where I had my first psychic experience was near. Have you ever been there?
No,
No, never. But I have been to Cleveland, and no self-respecting ghost would ever haunt Cleveland. So.
No comment. But anyway, St. Augustine has two public cemeteries right in the little town, right in the downtown area, and there's one called Tolomato Cemetery. And people see a little boy. These are massive oak trees that are there that have the Spanish moss hanging down and so forth. And they see a little boy there who will sometimes make his presence known to children. And his name is Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And next to this cemetery, there's an old house, and that's where I had my first psychic experience, where I had this real strong urge to go over to this little driveway between the house and the cemetery, and I just knew that there was a child there. I knew that there was a spirit child there.
Right.
And as soon as I got there, I started asking questions, and my meter that I had, ghost meter, would light up. in response. It was communication thing going on there.
Yeah.
And I could kind of sense what she looked like, and I asked her, you know, are you 6 years old? And the meter would respond, is your hair blind? Because I could see her. I basically see her, not right down in front of me, but I just kind of was a knowing.
Right.
And that was pretty amazing. And then that was where I met Linda, the medium that I work with remotely. And I got invited to speak at a conference here about 2 months later, so I went back down there. And I did not tell Linda or her daughter, Shauna, anything about this, but I took them to the house. And as soon as we approached the house and turned a corner, they said, oh, my, there's a little girl standing on the front porch, and she's wearing a blue dress, and she has blonde hair.
Wow.
And I actually picked up her name. Her name was Alice. And that was a pretty amazing experience. So that's kind of where I opened up to all this.
Yeah. That's great, though, that you were willing to follow that, because what I've always known, like I say, that I had some abilities because I've had them since I was a child. And, but at the same time, when I first started working in the paranormal, I would try, and it would be like, okay, I need to make this happen, or I need to work at this. And what I discovered is that working at it is exactly the worst way to get it to happen, and that instead of working at it, you have to get out of your own way and set your own needs and ego and everything else aside.
Yeah.
You have to allow, and just like you say, that's a good way to describe, you have to get out of the way, and then that information starts flowing into you. And I can do that occasionally. Like I said, I'm on my radio scanning, occasionally I'll hit the station. But the mediums they're always on XM satellite radio, just, you know, 100% strong. That analogy, they have that link that just is so strong that information just flows to them. And anybody that's interested in this kind of work, I would highly recommend working on developing those skills, those psychic skills that everybody really has. They just kind of lay dormant, and they can't be developed if you really work at it. And also trying to find someone who's maybe naturally gifted to incorporate that into their teamwork, because, you know, we just got to be open to everything here. It's not just all, you know, it can be a blend of science and intuitive work, too, because this is all kind of psi-based stuff that, you know, it's if you're not using that resource, you're just not using the whole package.
Yeah, and it makes me sad that now there's just this belief that if you work with mediums, you're wackadoos. Well, you know, I don't agree with that, but yet that seems to be sort of conventional thinking a lot of the time.
Well, in my experience, that's the best way to do it. And we get better results. Our clients get the best results that way. We have testimonial after testimonial. Just got a new one here the other day of people that, and this doesn't have to take forever, and it's not really hard. It's just going in and establishing communication and providing some counseling.
Right.
Well, it's going in for the right reasons, and I know I keep saying that, but it has to be, your heart has to be in the right place. It can't be about you getting the holy grail of evidence and all of that stuff. It has to be about truly wanting to help.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, I like to get evidence to present to the client, but it's not the main goal anymore. I mean, they know something's going on. Otherwise, they wouldn't have contacted me, you know?
Right.
So of all the cases I've been involved with, and it's been hundreds, if not a thousand or several thousand, I've lost track of it. But over the 10 years that I've been doing this, and the many times I've been in the house, the antebellum home, there's just been just a handful that there was not energy in a place. I mean, energy's everywhere, you know.
Right.
And, my gosh, it's incredible what they can do to get your attention. It really is. I've seen things thrown, objects thrown. I've pretty much seen it all.
Well, so and the bottom line is,
it's not paranormal to me anymore. It's normal.
Yeah. It's normal. And the bottom line is, pay attention, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, we live in a world that's full of energy, and it's all about vibration and energy. And the more you tune into it, the better you understand it. What's going on around us? There's a lot of stuff that's going around us that most people are not aware of. I'd say 99.9 99% of the people who are walking this planet are not aware of it.
I would agree with you on that. So if people are interested in taking your workshops, mm-hmm. how would they go about finding out about that?
Well, the easiest way to get in touch with us and see what we're doing is to go to our website, which is memphisghosthunters.com. And there's a section on workshops. We have one coming up. Well, actually, our next two workshops, the overnight one and the two-hour one, are already full, but we're going to do some probably after the first of the year, maybe in January. So we'll have some new information about that. And anybody's welcome just to email us, and if they have any, you know, questions about anything, or and since we work remotely with mediums, different mediums, you know, we can help people that are not just in our immediate area too. And we can also refer them to teams that we know are reputable that can go in and do some investigation work too. We've got a network of people that we work with in that respect.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on. It's been really refreshing to talk to you.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
It's been fantastic. And you are welcome to come back anytime.
All right. Thank you very much. If you guys are ever in the Memphis area, come on down and I'll take you to the world's best barbecue.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You too.
Oh, so what do you think, Rick?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with him on the world's best barbecue, because the world's best barbecue is actually at a restaurant called Greenbriars in Alabama. So,
you know, I live in Washington State. We don't have good barbecue out here.
See,
there is good barbecue all over the South, really, and truly, but we got some really good barbecue here. So, seriously, if you guys ever are over in this area, look us up, and we'd be glad to take you over to the Antebellum home and give you a tour of that and so forth.
That would be really cool. I would really like that.
Yep.
All right. So Rick disagrees on the barbecue. So I say, to me, that was really a refreshing conversation, because so much of what we talk about is evidence, evidence, evidence. And, you know, we tend to fall into that trap because those are the buzzwords that that's what people want, you know?
Right.
And that's what the shows want and everything else.
I would love to see a TV show on rescue work, you know?
Yeah, I know. Paranormal rescue.
Yeah, but maybe one of these days. But, you know, the shows, when I first started watching them, I was fascinated with them. And, you know, but at least they opened up people's minds to be curious about this subject. And it's mm-hmm. become a little bit more mainstream. I don't like a lot of the approaches that these people take, and like I said, I haven't watched any of the shows in about 5 years, but you know, at least it opened it up, so that's a good thing.
It did, it did, and it did. It's got people talking. It actually got my mother thinking that maybe, you know, and then even though her daughter's been telling her for years that ghosts are real, she didn't really believe it until a police officer told her he lived in a haunted house.
No.
Then she was down with it, so there you go.
Well, I never try to convince anybody. To me, it takes a personal experience. It really does. And
it does.
Yeah.
I'm glad to share my experiences, and maybe that'll get people curious, or maybe they'll look into it a little bit deeper, but it takes a personal experience. I don't ever try to convince anybody.
No, you can't convince anybody. You can't. Just like politics, like I was saying at the top of the show. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi.
Next week.
Oh, yeah. Next week we have a returning guest who you guys probably remember talking to last time, Jill Marie Morris. She is a psychic.
Jill, yeah.
Yeah. Great friend of the show. She's a mm-hmm. psychic medium, and we are welcoming her back next week.
She got a documentary she's filming right now, right?
She is. Yeah. Her book, 207, she's trying to turn into her story into a documentary. I really hope, I think she still has a Kickstarter up. So if you go there and search Jill Maria Morris, you can find her Kickstarter campaign for her documentary. I hope people check that out. And, we're going to check in with her, see what she's been up to, get some updates. It'll be fun.
Okay, and any other things that people need to know?
They should check paranormalunderground.net in the next few days for a new magazine, which will be online.
Mm.
And what else?
Is my Dybbuk report? Is my life with the Dybbuk box report going to be in that one?
Indeed, it will.
Oh, see, there you go. You can find out what happened while the Dybbuk box, the Fibbuk box, lived with me.
Yes, it's a. I've read it already. It's a good story. People will want to read it. And other than that, I want to thank our guest Steve tonight from Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters.
Thanks, Steve.
I thoroughly enjoyed the show. The subject you talked about, I thought were great, and I loved the EVPs. And so thanks to Steve. And
thank
also,
you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and please, we'll have to have you back again, and hopefully we'll be able to feature you and your group in the magazine here sometime soon. That would, I think our readers would like that.
Yeah.
Also, thank you.
Also,
yeah, definitely.
Just a what quick else? Shout out to our chat room friends who have hung out with us for the whole show. Mm-hmm. Thank you, chat room friends. And I've noticed on our listener tracker that we've had quite an international crowd tonight. It seems
it's been
a little
an
bit
international
more
audience
than
listening.
Yeah,
in,
more
so
than usual.
Go.
We have UK,
France,
UK, France, Canada, and I think I saw someone from China earlier.
Oh, great.
So and
the one from China was probably spam.
It might have been a spam listener. But also in the U.S., we have our good friends from coast to coast. We have people out here in California, Washington, all the way through Utah. Where else are we going? We're going to all the way across to New York. And then, you know, we've got Minnesota, Tennessee, Illinois. You name it. Oh, yeah, there's the Canada person there. In,
you forgot to say Oregon.
Oh, my gosh, Rob, I'm sorry. Oregon.
And Jenny.
Oh, Jenny's in Oregon. Who's in Washington? Everybody else.
Me?
Yeah.
Patty.
Yeah, and I'm in Chicago. So,
in
hey,
Chicago.
But I do want to say this to our New York listener. Okay,
our,
the pizzas.
He assumes it's just one.
Our one.
Yeah. All right, you know, to the New York listener, if you're still there, our pizza's better here in Chicago.
Oh no! Oh no!
Live with it.
Yeah.
How dare you, sir? So I wanted to also mention real quickly before we go off the air that last week I talked to a lovely young woman who is writing an article on haunted antiques from, was it Collector Magazine? Does that sound right, Cheryl?
I think that was it, yeah.
Yeah, from Collector Magazine. And she was, so she called me because Cheryl told her I was an expert. Anyway, but she did anyway.
Well,
and
you had the Fibbuk box.
I did. And it was a really fantastic conversation. I enjoyed talking to her. And I realize when I talk to people, because I never make any assumptions about anything, so I use all this language that sort of gets me away from the assumptions and stuff. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, okay. Derek just posted in the chat room that we're being picked up by Penwith Radio. Looks like 150,000 in their UK, in the UK FM.
Wow.
Oh,
well, that would be
nice.
That would
Hello,
UK. Hello, UK.
Woohoo!
You know, what's really great is that earlier in the week, you know, speaking of, you know, the UK, of course, and, you know, and the magazine, I got an email from a girl in the UK who was making a film on the Pontefract Black Monk.
Oh,
yeah, and that
she found
that,
your article then.
She found my article,
yeah.
And she actually emailed me asking her if I could give her any insight of, you know, what I thought concerning that. And, you know, it's like everybody always talks about Enfield this and Enfield that. Enfield is the greatest poltergeist case of all time in the UK. No way. The Black Monk of Pontefract, that was over 10 years before before Enfield, and had so much more going on with it. Not only was it poltergeist type energy, but man, it was waking up and drawing in other kind of entities. So it was really humbling when you get those kind of emails from somebody from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
And here's what I will say about UK, and I'm not just sucking up because we know people are listening from there. One of the things that I love about the UK is their openness to things paranormal, because you don't always see that. You're seeing it a little more in the United States now, but not nearly as much. They're much more open to that type of thing in the UK, and that's something that I've always really appreciated.
Well, yeah. let me get this.
I'd like to say about UK, too, is they do rescue circles there. And we've actually done some of those here, too, where you get a group of people together mm-hmm. on a regular basis and with the intent to do spirit rescue. Mm. And that's where we found that idea, and it really does. We have had some success with that, too, here.
I'd like to...
Is that something that you just do locally, or is that something that you do, on the Internet?
No, we do it locally. Just get a group of people together with that like-minded passion for the spirit rescue work, and it's amazing what will happen when you do that on a regular basis.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah. For the UK listeners, I just want to get this plug in here, because it's our last issue features Paul Green and Stephen Lambert from Extreme Ghost Hunting, based out of the UK. They're on the cover of the magazine. You can go to paranormalunderground.net. You can currently read this issue for free. And if you, I don't even think you have to log in. You just click on the magazine cover, and you can pop open a little application that lets you read the issue. But speaking of rescue or mediumship, Paul was telling us about in our radio interview with him in the past, and I think he covers it in the interview in the magazine, that it's called rescue mediumship, I believe is what he terms it, and that he's a rescue medium. And so he definitely follows that belief that's an important part of what they do there. They just don't do, go out and investigate haunted locations and take people on tours, but they also do the other part of the work too at Extreme Ghost Hunting.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked to Paul quite a bit, and that guy, he's just really intimidating looking to me.
Oh, okay. I hate to break
he's
it to you guys,
nice.
But we need to start rapping.
No. Yeah. Okay.
I know this has been.
I gotta go to work.
This has been such a fantastic show, and yeah, Steve, anytime you are welcome on our show. It's been great talking to you, and Cheryl is going to put up a new magazine in the next couple of days, so keep your eye out for that.
Yeah, go to paranormalunderground.net. Also, I want to ask our live listeners to stick around for the next show coming up. It's Fox City's Paranormal Radio with Tim and Amy, and they have Rosalind Bowen, am I pronouncing that right? I'm not sure. Last name is spelled B-O-W-N or Bown. And so she's up next. And next week, we'll be back on Thursday, as usual.
So, yes, come back next week, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. That's right. Yeah. And, hey, also, everybody, next week, happy Halloween. We'll talk to you.
Halloween.
We'll talk to you next Thursday. Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.